Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Get of the week this hour, second hour of the program, Governor Rauner and James Carville. Here's your Republican-Democrat contrast. Here's what will happen when we have Rauner on. I will be a Republican suck-up, according to the texters. We have Carville on. I'll be a Democratic weenie. Stand by for that if you're prepared to text at 312-981-7200. Henry Winkler later. Did you see the premiere of Better Late Than Ever?
No. Was it good?
No, I taped it. I want to see it. How is it?
It's got moments. It's got moments. Remember when George Foreman was on and Foreman said, you know, it's good to know that at this point in your life you can still do stuff.
Right.
Because Foreman's almost 70. William Shatner's 85. Shatner actually talks about dying. And I think it was Henry Winkler said, we're not sure what city he's going to die in. We all have bets on, you know, whatever city it is. Because these guys spent a month in Asia. It's like if you think Amazing Race for geezers, that's kind of what the show is.
Did you see him in the Japanese, the kimonos?
When they were, yeah, and there's
hilarious.
And they were actually staying in a tiny Japanese hotel where you have these tubes that you can stay in. They're literally sleeping tubes where you just, but it's not a moving train. It's like a hotel. So it's not great, but it's an entertaining show.
It looks cute.
Yeah, there's an underlying message there that don't stop moving. Don't stop living your life just because you get older.
I can't wait to see
Orient the reaction, should be
though.
On it.
Orient should be on it.
You know, Orion Samuelson, come on. Orion Samuelson can run laps around those guys.
I think he would look at those guys and go, good luck, youngsters.
Yeah, keep up, fellas. Mm-hmm. I'll be over here.
I think he'd look at them and say, hey, I don't want to hang out with these old guys.
Yeah. So Henry Winkler, Terry Bradshaw, who's very funny. And I didn't realize Terry Bradshaw is almost 70. But he's been around a while.
Yeah.
And then you got your Shatner.
And George Foreman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, I would recommend it. It's not going to blow you away. They do this, you know. Somebody in Hollywood said, hey, we need really quick cuts. We need super fast edits. We need to make it pop. We need giant graphics. So there's a lot of that going on. So I think they're trying to design this show where you could watch it with your family and your 15-year-old won't go, turn this crap off.
Right.
But it works on some level. It's Fonzie will be on later this morning. I like Henry Winkler. He's been on a bunch through the years. He's a good guy.
Nicest guy. This kind of reminds me of The Bucket List. Remember with Jack Nicholson?
Yeah.
And was it Morgan Freeman?
Yeah, but different. Because I saw The Bucket List. You won't get that vibe when you see this.
Okay.
When you see Better Late Than Never, it's funny, it's poignant, it's kind of sweet. The Bucket List made me sad.
It did.
Yeah.
So this is happier than good.
Yeah. By the way, was Jack Nicholson ever going to make another movie?
It's
a good made a movie in a long time.
I love him.
He should have been in that show, too.
Oh, my God. Oh, my. Traveling with Jack Nicholson?
Can you see Jack Nicholson?
Wow.
Mary.
Wow.
Gotta go.
Yeah. Yay. Sad news out of Hollywood. Gene Wilder died. Gene Wilder was 83 years old. And again, part of being blessed is being able to meet some of these people through the years. Met him on several occasions. Very artistic. A little actory at times, but a really nice guy. Really, really nice guy. And when Gilda Radner died, he is the one that found a way to start Gilda's club, because Gilda had told him time and time again, you know, there's no place for me to go to talk to people who understand what I'm going through, which is the core value of Gilda's Club. Other people going through cancer like you're going through cancer, and all of you dealing with it together. Medical resources, but also mental health resources and emotional resources. But a very sweet guy. And I would really fall down funny. I loved him as the Cisco kid, but I'm telling you, young Frankenstein.
All right, I bet if you asked all of us, we would have a different favorite gene. Mine would be Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, just because
sweet,
I kind of grew
movie.
Up with that.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
you
yeah.
would say young Frankenstein?
Young, yeah, Frankenstein.
I'm going with Frankenstein, too.
Yeah, Frankenstein.
Just because Terry Garr and that thing just cracked me up, the two of their chemistry together.
Yeah.
It's just hilarious.
You know, he told Mel Brooks he couldn't do that movie?
How come?
Why?
Because he thought Mel Brooks would be too campy, and he'd sauce it up in ways that he didn't think it should be. He said, I'll do it, but only if you're not in it.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Yeah, Mel Brooks tells that story all the time. Dave, you got a favorite Gene Wilder?
Silver Streak.
Silver Streak's funny movie.
I thought you'd say Blazing Saddles.
Funny movie. Yeah.
You know, I watched, went back and watched Blazing Saddles a couple of years ago.
It's hilarious.
Don't be careful.
Don't
speak ill of the
this
dead.
Is no, blasphemy.
No, I will say, though, boy, is that ever a, by today's standards,
Racy.
By today's PC standards,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's well, you remember that was the era of All in the Family.
Yeah, a little Reese. Mm-hmm.
You know, same time that All in the Family was a smash. Yeah. So there was stuff you couldn't get away with today. Mm-hmm. No, absolutely not. And you know, there's a great actor in that movie, Alex Karras's horse. Because Alex Karras's horse goes down like Mike Tyson hit him.
Well, it was really Mongo. Alex Karras was Mongo.
Yes, which is where the nickname comes
right.
from. Right. Nick will be on here in a few minutes. And Nick's going to talk about a few of the lesser-known Gene Wilder movies, including a movie I'd forgotten about, but the title just made me laugh, The Adventure of Sherlock Holmes' Smarter Brother. Yeah, which I think was out for about 10 minutes, but it was a funny movie.
You blinked, you missed it.
At 6:16, we continue with a little bit of cloudiness, maybe some rain and stuff. And, of course, that'll mean that a lot of you will drive like fools.
But there's one guy on Gene's Cochran Show.
Who is it?
And what he says will make us stay or go. He is Nick at Night, DiGiulio. He knows what shows are good, what's stinking.
Good morning, Nick. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Well, a little bummed out about Gene Wilder, but that's a pretty good run, 83.
And did a big tribute to him this morning on my show.
I'm sure you did. And I want to ask you about some of these lesser Gene Wilder movies in a second, but let's fly through a couple of things first. Don't Breathe, the horror movie that was out this weekend, is not your regular run-of-the-mill horror movie?
It's great. It's absolutely great. And shockingly, you know, it grossed over $26 million. This is a $13 million budgeted film with no stars, and it grossed over $26 million over the weekend. And I think that has everything to do with people telling people who saw it on Friday how good it is, and they went on Saturday and Sunday. Because it's a really, really scary movie with a simple premise. Three thieves, two guys and a girl, break into a blind guy's house to rob him, and it doesn't go right.
I like when the victim wins.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, the other thing is this movie has so many twists.
Mm-hmm. You don't know that.
Turns, so many surprises. There's a surprise every 10 minutes in this movie. It is brilliantly structured, really scary, really suspenseful, and I think one of the very, very best movies of the year. And I couldn't be thrilled, and it's been a great year for horror movies, especially this summer. You know, a lot of the horror movies that came out this year in the summertime have made a lot of money. And, you know, it's my favorite genre, so this 2016 turned out to be a pretty stellar year for horror, and this is one of the best ones. It's a terrific movie, really scary, and really simple, and full of surprises. It's great.
Called Don't Breathe. Tuesday night, Nick will do Fight Club as his next movie screening. How many of these have you done now? Just 700, 800?
It's a week from tonight, and it is, I'm in my fifth year. The first time I did it was in, the December.
So you're 50 plus.
2011.
Should be around 60 then.
I think we're past that, actually, because sometimes we do twice to a month. This is our fit. In December, it will be 5 years.
It's a lot. Nick has made, personally, his take on this, because he gets the popcorn revenue, is over $5 million.
That's right. And that's why I can go see Pearl Jam 41 times.
Yeah, right. Fight Club, the hilarious comedy starring Brad Pitt and his friends. It's Tuesday night. What do people do to get tickets?
Week from tonight, $10. Parking is free. Cheap date. You can go to carmike.com, CARMIKE, carmike.com. Reserve your seats now. They're starting to fly out, so it's a week from tonight, so you want to get your reservations for now. And again, it's a cheap night. $10, a great David Fincher film on the big screen. You want to talk about a movie with a lot of twists and surprises, here's one. So, yeah, week from tonight, go to carmike.com, reserve your seats.
Gene Wilder became a major movie star with Blazing Saddles. He did a ton of movies after that. For the last 25 years of his life, he didn't do another movie. And he was very open about it, did a pretty well-known interview with Larry King. We'll play some of the clips of that later, where he talked about he loved the show, he hated the business.
Right.
And wasn't going to do a 3D movie. He certainly was probably not a fan of the Iron Man era and the Marvel Comics era because he was an actor. So having said all that, there's a bunch of movies you may not know
Right.
Including the fact a lot of people don't realize he did the original Producers with Zero Mostel.
That's right. He was in the Producers. He was in, you know, here's another one that a lot of people don't know he was in. He's in Bonnie and Clyde. And he's got a really great role in Bonnie and Clyde, and that's where he met Gene Hackman. And because of that friendship, that's how Hackman ended up as the blind man in Young Frankenstein.
I don't remember the role. What did he do in Bonnie and Clyde?
He had a small role. He went along on the crime spree for a little bit with Bonnie and Clyde. And he's got some really great scenes, especially in the back of the car. He played Eugene Grizzard in it, who had a small relationship with Bonnie and Clyde and the gang during that time period.
It's a
small role, but a pivotal one, and he's great in it.
The Frisco Kid, remind people.
One of my favorites. This is a really great movie. This is one of those that you might miss. In it, he plays a rabbi who comes to America to open up a synagogue. And he travels from Philadelphia to San Francisco to do so, and he has trouble along the way. It's an Old West movie. It takes place in the Old West. And his co-star in the movie is Harrison Ford. And it came out in 1979, and that was when, you know, at that point, like, Gene Wilder was still pretty popular, but Harrison Ford, you know, I remember when they released the movie on video, Harrison Ford's picture was 50 times bigger than Gene Wilder's, because at that point, you know, he was Han Solo, and he was, you know, Indiana Jones.
Sure.
But the Frisco Kid is very, very funny, and I think one of my favorite Gene Wilder performances. He's great in it.
What did he do in The World's Greatest Lover?
World's Greatest Lover wrote and directed it, and it's a film from, I want to say, 77 or 78, and in it he plays a guy who, he's a banker, and they're looking, the studio magnate, it's a period piece, and the studio magnate is looking for a guy to take on Rudolph Valentino as the lover in the silent film era.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
And so he becomes, like, he changes his name to Rudy Valentino, and he's just a local baker, and he becomes like a movie star. And, you know, Carol Kane is in it, who's very, very funny. Dom DeLuise is in it, and he wrote and directed it. And there's so much great physical comedy in it. And as you know, Steve, you know, Gene Wilder had a face, such a beautiful, expressive, and hilarious face, that he could have done silent films.
Yeah,
he
no doubt.
Have.
Yeah.
So this is one of those. This is a movie that kind of explores the possibility of what would it have been like if Gene Wilder actually could have done silent movies.
Oh, he would have been great. He would have been the biggest star of the day. Start the Revolution Without Me.
That's a classic. That's an old one with him in the incredible comic duo of him and Donald Sutherland.
Well, of course.
And they play twins, two sets of twins. One set is pauper, one set is rich, and it's the old, like, Prince and the Pauper switcheroo thing that takes place during the Russian Revolution. Again, a little scene movie, and both of them are hilarious. And surprisingly, he and Donald Sutherland had amazing chemistry, and they were very, very funny. It was the movie he made right after The Producers.
And then we mentioned a second ago, The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes' Smarter Brother.
Yeah.
You couldn't get that title approved by a studio now. They go, nobody's going to see that.
Nobody's going to see it. And it was terrific. And again, wrote and directed it. A lot of people forget, you know, Gene Wilder, wrote and directed those two films of the 70s, Sherlock Holmes' Smarter Brother, which I think is the best movie he ever directed. But, you know, a lot of people also forget that Gene Wilder co-wrote Young Frankenstein. In fact, the original screen story and idea came from Wilder. The only reason Wilder did Blazing Saddles was so that he could do Young Frankenstein. He told Brooks that, yeah, okay, I'll do this, but I want to do Young Frankenstein with you after that. And so that's how they ended up making Young Frankenstein.
Yeah, and I just mentioned too how he told Mel Brooks, you can't be in it.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
I'll do Young Frankenstein, but you can't be in it.
Although he does now, Steve, you know he makes a vocal cameo in it?
Yeah, but what's the part?
Okay, he plays the cat that gets hit with the dart.
That's it. Mel Brooks, he couldn't resist. He had to get in there somewhere.
Of course.
Nice job by you last night, and good memories of Gene Wilder, 83 years old. Reunited with Gilda, reunited with his friend Richard Pryor. Heaven just got funny.
And like half the cast of Blazing Saddles. I was looking at the listing when I was going.
Most of those guys are gone.
So many. Cleavon Little, David Huddleston, we just lost him a couple of weeks ago. Madeline Kahn. Slim Pickens, you know, you look at the cast of Blazing Saddles, almost everybody except for Mel Brooks is dead.
God, how great was Madeline Kahn?
Oh, come on, man.
So great.
She was one of the, if not, seriously, one of, if not the greatest comedic actresses in the history of film.
Yeah.
Just so gifted, so wonderful, and taken from us so, so early. I mean, it's a tragic loss. But she is great. She's also great, by the way, in Sherlock Holmes' Smarter Brother, as one of those movies, if you haven't seen it. She's great in that, too. But she's great in everything.
And Cantor took her.
Alex Karras, too.
And Alex Karras is gone, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Alex Karras, yeah.
All right, buddy. We will talk to you, obviously, on Thursday. Thanks for being on.
You got it. Absolutely.
Back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
Kid of the Week. Every week we honor a kid doing great things. And you can tell us about a Kid of the Week you want us to know about. You know what? They could end up being Kid of the Year. Kid of the Year at the end of the year gets a $5,000 prize courtesy of Ray Chevy in Fox Lake and Raymond Chevy in Antioch. See all the inventory at rayandraymonddeals.com. And you can go online at wjnradio.com/contest and submit your entry. And it's just a kid doing something special. All the bad news in the world, we want good news about kids. And it can't all be about Abigail Grace.
Well, you want to give the other kids a chance, too.
Ross is working from his apartment today, his condo.
Mm-hmm.
So I will be watching Abigail Grace while he's working.
Oh, how sweet is that? Yeah. Kind of giving him a break.
So I went out yesterday and bought $5,000 worth of toys to bring over just to keep us both busy because of my short attention span.
Yeah, you think there's going to be room in the apartment for all those toys?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
I just turn on Blazing Saddles. It'll be good.
That would be cool. That would be so cool to watch Blazing Saddles with Abigail Grace. Oh, that'd be great. You know, the bean scene comes on and Lauren walks in.
Perfect.
What are you doing?
Bean, the magical fruit. Abigail starts going, fruit. Beans.
Well, she's good at that part anyway, right? I mean, she's 8 months old.
She's got it figured out.
We're going to meet Tyler Lewis in just a second. And again, put your Kid of the Week entry. Get it to us, even if it's a kid you don't know. Go to WJNradio.com. Follow the links. This is a note we got from Tyler's grandma. This is sent to Samberg. It says, thanks. He's excited. I am, too. I've called in several times through the years. But his grandpa was on many years ago on the first day of school with Wally Phillips.
Oh, that's cool.
He answered Wally's question. We got prizes for weeks. Oh, those days are over, Grandma. I made sure he knew that that wasn't going to happen tomorrow. Oh, no, we got stuff for him. We got stuff for Taylor. I've been a WGN junkie for years. And now for Steve and Bill and Wendy and K&J on Saturdays and all of you. My best to all of you, and thanks for the years of laughter, tears, sharing insights, and challenge from Tyler's grandma. Isn't that nice?
It's very sweet.
Very nice.
It's very exciting.
I feel badly, though, for Tyler, because he's got to live up to grandma now. That's a high bar.
Yeah, but I bet he's done something extraordinary.
Grandma raising the game. Let's go to Tyler. Good morning, sir.
Hi.
How are you? How old are you, buddy?
15
years old. Put you as a, what, sophomore in school?
Freshman.
All right. And how's the first few days of school? Or are you not back yet?
I started last week. It's going pretty well.
Okay. And you excited about high school?
Yeah.
Okay, good. What do you want to do when you get old like me?
I'm not really sure yet.
No, we're going to need an answer, Tyler. Dave, you wanted Tyler to have an answer. Isn't that right?
I do. I want Tyler to have an answer for us.
What do you think you want to do, Tyler?
Maybe something with architecture.
Well, that's pretty good. Are you good at, like, building stuff? What about Legos? You have Legos?
Yeah.
You pretty good with Legos?
Yeah, I used to do them a couple years ago. I haven't really had time lately for them, but yeah.
You know, Legos are therapy.
Yeah, Legos are fun.
Yeah, and it's really therapy. So you're building stuff. What's the coolest thing you ever built?
I've built, like, vending machines, claw machines.
Nice.
That's very cool.
That's cool.
You a sports guy as well?
Yeah.
What do you play?
Basketball.
All right. Well, here's what Grandma told us about you. Driving the house to work on a wood project with Grandpa, we stopped at the post office. As he pulled into the parking spot, we spotted an older lady crouched down with papers all around her. Before I even break, Tyler said, I'll get out, I'll help her. And you jumped out of the car, and then what happened?
I could see that she was struggling, and she couldn't really reach the papers. So I decided to get out of the car and try to help her with the papers. Some of them went under her car, so she couldn't reach them.
It's simple acts like that, that you don't have to tell a kid to do, that makes you feel about who the kid's going to turn out to be.
Yeah, it's a random act of kindness.
Yeah, as opposed to the kid buried in his phone, right? Texting someone going, oh, yeah, I saw her. Good luck, old lady.
Right.
Or bend at the hips.
Or looking over and thinking, oh, someone else will take care of it. He took care of it.
So it's what did she say when you helped her out?
I said, do you need me to help you carry them back in? And she said, oh, no, I was going to put them in the car, but thank you.
It's very nice. And this is what I'm talking about when we do Kid of the Week. It's the little things, it's the medium things, and it's the big things. But the reason I wanted to talk to you, Tyler, because I love the symbolism of this. I love the fact that you didn't even have to get the instruction from Grandma. You wanted to get out of the car and help her right away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you do the same thing for your own grandmother, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to make sure, because I like your grandma. She sounds like a special lady. Well done by you, buddy. You are Kid of the Week, and you want to say hi to anybody?
I want to thank my grandma for nominating me.
That's very nice. How many friends at school? You got any friends you want to suck up to?
Not really.
No? Okay. How about a favorite teacher?
Yeah, teachers.
I know my aunt is probably listening to this right now.
Okay. What, is your aunt a teacher, or you just want to say hi to her?
I just want to say hi to her.
What's her name?
Amy.
Aunt Amy! Well done. Tyler, you got any brothers or sisters?
Yeah, I have two sisters.
Oh, boy.
When was the last time? Doesn't want to say hi to them.
Oh, boy. Two sisters. When was the last time you were able to use a bathroom in the house?
Probably last week.
Last week. That's great.
All right, dude, hold on. And give your grandma a hug. There you go. It's Tyler. We like Tyler.
He's a great kid.
It's the little things.
Yeah.
And it's the big things.
Mm-hmm.
Ever tell you about Aubrey?
No.
You know Aubrey, our engineer here?
Yeah.
Aubrey is an older guy.
He's been here 30 plus years, right?
Aubrey's an older guy. You know what he looks like? He's a bus driver on The Simpsons.
Yeah, oh, gee. Yeah. Long gray hair.
Or Einstein. Mm-hmm. Either one. Pick one.
Long gray hair, glasses.
And Aubrey's very focused. He's got that engineer sort of thing. He's very focused on what he does, right? So Aubrey, at the time, this is 10 years ago, Aubrey was driving a VW van, like an old hippie van, right?
Right.
Because Aubrey's basically an old hippie. And I had a pile of papers, you know, just a stack of papers, mm-hmm. right? And I come down, and I was driving a big old SUV, and I come down, and I realized I'd left my keys back upstairs. So now I got to come back upstairs to get my keys. And it's a long walk on the loading dock and come back upstairs. So I don't want to carry the papers back up. So I think I'm a genius. I stick the stack of papers in the wheel well of my truck, just right on top of the tire, because it's you know it's a little breezy.
That makes sense, right?
Right, because then I just come down and grab them.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I go up and get my keys. I come back down. As I'm coming back down, Aubrey is pulling into the parking lot, and he waves all the way back. Hey, Aubrey! Hey, how you doing? I get in my truck, back it up. Papers flying everywhere. Totally forgot the papers were on top of the tire.
It's amazing that you forgot that.
Yeah, and as I looked up, scrambling all over the parking lot, do you think Aubrey got out to help me pick up my papers, Aubrey the engineer? No, he laughed. He pointed and laughed as the papers were blowing all over the parking lot.
Who helped you?
No.
Okay, it was just you.
No.
Well, Aubrey's carrying those big bags all the time. You know, he's got a lot of stuff with
him. That's where the bodies are kept.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'd probably laugh, too.
Oh,
no,
you
we would. Yeah. Now nah, I was going to say,
Tyler,
we'd help it now.
Tyler would have gotten out of the car and helped me.
I don't know. Tyler might have laughed at you.
He might have laughed a little, but then he would have helped me.
He would have helped you. Yes.
He would have been stifling a chuckle.
Yeah. I've got 4 tickets to the Volo Auto Museum. Go see all those cool cars and everything going on there at volocars.com. There's an app gift card as well in there from ABT.com. Lou Malnati's gift certificate. I'm guessing Tyler likes pizza. That's the law. You're 15 years old. You're a boy. You eat pizza.
Gotta eat pizza. Yeah.
40-plus Chicagoland Lou's locations. Order online at loumelnatties.com. All that, and let's throw in a Chevy Drive Chicago WGN Radio stainless steel travel mug and some Papa Nicholas coffee as well from your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. All right. Thank you, Tyler. What are we doing? A little traffic? Martin, traffic, traffic, and again, Rand Raymond Chevrolet, thank you for sponsoring Kid of the Weeks. 6:54 and cloudy and showery. Governor Rauner next hour. James Carville next hour as well. And then obviously Fonzie, Henry Winkler after 9. Would go with Rauner. Rauner, Carville, and Fonzie. Plus, this election jumped the shark a long time ago, so Fonzie probably can't talk politics. Sandberg's here, producer of the program. You're sick and you're trying to infect the rest of us? What's your deal?
That's true.
When did you get sick?
Yesterday I noticed it.
Well, Bill Leff was sick.
He was sick for like 2 weeks, and so was their producer, Kevin.
Were you making out with Bill Leff at work?
And their producer, Kevin, I was.
And Wendy, too. Remember Wendy lost her voice?
I also was making out with her.
Yeah. So. Boy, you are busy after the show.
I know.
I wonder if I can ever find you.
And after the wedding.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you guys wiping down those studios down there with the wipes?
I do.
Come on.
Andrea comes in with like a hazmat suit at 6
yeah,
o'clock.
You have to.
I come in with the Clorox wipes. I do the board, your board.
Unbelievable.
Dave usually does his.
I was going to talk about Anthony Weiner, but you said you have a guy question.
I do. I have, you know, I have a new husband.
Right. Oh, you got rid of Pat.
Well, 2 weeks.
Oh, I like Pat.
2.5 weeks.
By the way, Pat Boyle, Comcast SportsNet.
Yeah, and so, you know, we've lived together for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. So.
Sinner!
I know. So we have, there's some systems at the house that I've put in place.
Wait, what do you mean by systems?
Here we go.
Things that go. You do to make things run more efficiently.
Right. Sure. Right.
One system, right, which took a while to kick in, was if you use the last of something, put it on the list so I know to buy it.
Right.
That seems fine.
Man, you makes sound sense. Like my husband.
Makes sense.
No, that seems fine. That seems like a
So we request. Have a list. So on the list yesterday, there was Diet Coke. He drinks Diet Coke. So I bought some Diet Coke. So I brought it home from the grocery store. And we have a basement with a refrigerator where I put stock of things, you know, bigger items or whatever, and I bring a couple of Diet Cokes upstairs to the regular refrigerator. So I load a few of the regular Diet Coke or some Diet Cokes up in the upstairs fridge, and I head down to the basement fridge, and there's an empty Diet Coke box sitting on the counter next to the refrigerator. And there's a trash can right below the counter in the basement.
This isn't good.
And when you come up and down from the basement.
This isn't good for Pat Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet.
You come up and down from the basement. The garage door is right there. You open that door. There's the two trash cans right in there.
It's not hard.
So he knows it was the last one because he took it out of the refrigerator. And he wrote it on the list but left the empty container sitting on the counter.
Did you kill him last night or are you thinking about it later today?
I did not. And, you know, he works at night. So initially I'm like, oh. So I'm going to send a text message because he's at work, so I can't, you know, make a phone call. And I was going to say, I was actually going to, this is so passive aggressive. I was going to say, did Patrick leave this empty Diet Coke box?
Oh, to see if he would blame
knowing that Patrick didn't, because Patrick doesn't drink Diet Coke.
Right, want to see if he would blame his son.
Yeah, well, and but then I thought, Mary, that's petty.
No.
So I waited for the phone call that we have, our nightly call. And I said, hey.
Hey, did he know something was wrong at that point?
Oh, yeah, he knew.
Hey.
I said, I bought Diet Coke, but I noticed the empty container was sitting on the counter. Were you keeping it for something? No.
Do you ever catch yourself in the middle of these moments, these Sandberg moments, where you go, maybe Steve's right. Maybe I am nuts.
I know. I know it seems, but I don't. I never do that. No
thing,
one ever has listen, to pick up after me. Ever, ever, ever.
Maybe they just forgot.
No, how do you forget? How do you hold it in your hand and not put it in
know,
the trash?
You do something else. You're doing something. I would.
Mary, would you ever leave it on the counter for him just for days on end?
Andrea, yeah, I considered it. I'm like, I'm not picking that up. I'm not picking, you know, and I
garbage
paced
night?
Around.
Is it garbage night?
No, tomorrow. No, no. But then I'm like, I can't leave the empty container. I know it's empty.
It would drive you nuts to leave it there for 3 days.
Dave, you have thoughts. You're weird.
Oh,
well,
man.
I've been asked that same question. Are you saving it for something? But I'm also in charge of garbage disposal and recycling in our house.
Okay.
So I'm pretty good about putting stuff in the proper bin. But occasionally I'll put, like, I don't know, Triscuits or something back in, not realizing there are no more Triscuits in the box.
Yes.
But if you...
Okay.
If you
must be a sportscaster thing, because Pat does that
thing.
As well. He'll leave one half a Triscuit in there and
that's
like claim, oh, they weren't done yet because he didn't want to throw
it's
away
like
the box.
Leaving a teeny piece of toilet paper on the roll.
Yeah.
Have so you what? Thought about possibly writing these rules out so that Pat has something he can refer to?
A manual.
Yeah.
We do have sportscaster meetings. We discuss doing these things intentionally.
To make us nuts.
My phone's ringing. Yep. Hello. You want me to call you Bob? Yes, Bob. Yes, yes. We can get you out. Yes, we can get you out. I'm sending a SWAT team now. We'll parachute in. We'll get you out by noon. Bring Diet Coke. If there's any left, bring it.
Do you think this has anything to do with you being sick?
No.
No, I don't either.
Unfortunately, probably not. Even this morning, I was like, gosh darn it, that empty box.
Still there.
We just got a text from the 262. Mm-hmm. I give them 4 weeks.
I was going to say, if you want to make it to year two,
Mayday.
I would ignore this one.
Really good. You fast forward 20 years down the road and see if they're even talking to each other.
Yeah.
20 years. It's you wouldn't believe it. I did the wrong thing. I left two Diet Coke boxes out. It's 7 o'clock. And we'll talk about Anthony Weiner later. The husbands with real problems, not just Diet Coke problems. Coming up at and Governor Rauner in a few minutes as well. And 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Come with me and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look and you'll see into your imagination.
Gene Wilder died yesterday at 83. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
We'll begin with a spin, traveling in the world of my creation.
This must have been a big movie for you when you were growing up.
Loved this movie growing up. It was so just, beautiful movie.
I don't think very many people knew that he could sing before that. Me, I'm more of a Blazing Saddles guy. And you know, when the sheriff comes back after a rough go out there, sometimes the Cisco kid needs to cheer the sheriff up.
What did you expect? Welcome, Sonny. Make yourself at home. Marry my daughter. You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. The common clay of the New West. You know. Morons.
And to see Cleavon Little crack up, it was almost like a Harvey Korman, Tim Conway kind of thing that Mel Brooks kept in the movie. Young Frankenstein. Do you remember when Young Frankenstein had a problem with his assistant, Igor? I think we all do.
Dr. Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
You're putting me on.
No, it's pronounced Frankenstein.
Do you also say Frederick?
No, Frederick.
Well, why isn't it Frederick Frankenstein?
It isn't. It's Frederick Frankenstein.
I see.
You must be Igor.
No, it's pronounced Igor.
But they told me it was Igor.
Well, they were wrong then, weren't they?
Of course. I'm sure we'll get along splendidly. Oh, sorry. I don't mean to embarrass you, but I'm a rather brilliant surgeon. Perhaps I could help you with that hump.
What hump?
That's so great.
Let's go.
The best. Young Frankenstein. Tremendous. And Cloris Leachman. You know, we're talking about Madeline Connery. Mm-hmm. Cloris Leachman was tremendous
as
well.
She was great.
Where'd Gene Wilder go for the last 25 years? We now know that he was dealing with Alzheimer's. But after he lost Gilda Radner in 1989, he had pretty much already made a decision that he was done with movies. He was certainly headed in that direction. Hadn't made a film since 1991, 90 or 91. Talked to Larry King about the business at one point, an interview you might remember.
I'm reminded by our crack staff, you were once the hottest male property in Hollywood, right? You were the highest paid movie actor. Oh. You broke box office records. Yeah, but you had string of hits.
Yes.
How did you handle all that? How did your ego deal with all that?
Very well. Unlike unlike all the stories you hear about it, I don't mean this to sound, I don't want it to come out funny, but I don't like show business. I love acting in films. I love it.
But you don't
I love painting. I like the show, but I don't like the business. And when I go to a restaurant and they're talking 3.6, 9.8, and how many, what the budget, and everyone is a writer or a director or an actor or a producer, and it just makes me nervous. And Gilda left me this beautiful 1734 house in Connecticut where I live with Karen. And there's no show business there. And there I'm very relaxed. I'm very relaxed with you. But we're talking about art, but we're not talking about the business of show.
He's a sweet man. And as I said, I had the pleasure of spending a little time with him and liked him a lot.
His last small screen appearance was 2002. He was on Will and Grace, and he played Will Truman's boss. Remember
Mr.
Right? Stein?
Yeah, I don't remember that.
He won an Emmy for it, but that was his last TV appearance.
All right, quick traffic update, and we'll come back with Governor Rauner in a couple of minutes, who, by the way, appeared with Mayor Emanuel yesterday. Governor Rauner and Mayor Emanuel reunited, and it feels so good. I'm going to sing the whole song when the governor comes in. Quick word on Anthony Weiner. Anthony Weiner's wife, Huma Abedin, announced yesterday that they are separated. They've been separated for a while now. And I would just caution anybody that wants to sit in judgment of Huma Abedin sticking around while this guy continued to sext his way through apologies and other things. Don't judge other people's marriages. Don't judge other people's lives behind closed doors, whether they're famous or not famous, whether they have access to power or don't have access to power. You don't know until you live there. You don't know until you're behind closed doors. You don't know what she's gone through. He is a complete mess. I mean, this guy needs serious, serious emotional help. Mm-hmm. And the last straw was the child crawling into bed next to him, the 2-year-old or 3-year-old crawling into bed next to him while he was sexting some woman he didn't know in California. So the bottom line is give it some thought before you trash Huma Abedin, because we've gotten some of those texts.
And that goes for Trump and Hillary Clinton. Neither. I know Trump was jumping in yesterday. Neither should be weighing in on this.
Well, Hillary says it's like another daughter to her, so right. She's obviously not going to be down on her, but she will protect her if she has to. Mm-hmm. And Trump. Oh, Donald. 7:23, Governor Rauner joins us next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
7:26, Governor Rauner joins us on a rainy Tuesday morning. Taking you twice as long to get anywhere. It's rain, people. Accelerate.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing?
Morning, Governor. And I understand that while you were on hold waiting for the show, you were doing a Willie Nelson medley. What are you doing singing Lukenbach, Texas?
That's one of my favorite songs. I was just waiting to get picked up. The phone was ringing there.
I didn't know you were a Willie guy. That's good.
I am.
All right, you remember, I don't know when it was, but one of the times you were in the studio, I said I would facilitate a reunion between you and the mayor. It doesn't look like you need me. It looked like you two are getting along fine.
You know, it was pretty funny last night. Diana was laughing. She told me at dinner that the mayor jumped in. Apparently, one of the reporters wanted to ask her a question about me getting along with the mayor. He jumped in and said, no, that's off limits. We're not talking about that.
Yeah, it was a good thing, but the point being that you and the mayor have a working relationship.
We always have, reasonable people can reasonably disagree sometimes. It's okay. But, we all wanted to solve problems, get a better life for everybody in Illinois. So that's what we're working on.
I don't know if you know this about me, Governor. I'm not a huge Mike Madigan fan. I don't know if you've ever caught that from me.
I picked up on that a little bit.
Yeah. So when was the last time you two spoke?
It's been quite a few weeks. I don't even remember.
All right, so here we go. I mean, nothing at all, nothing about the weather, nothing about the Cubs, nothing about the Blackhawks coming up, Bears season, nothing at all.
No, nothing. Shirley reaches out, his wife, she's head of the Arts Council. She reaches out on different government things, and she also is in communication with my wife, Diana, because they share some interests. But the speaker made it clear that his focus is on the election. He's trying to pick up some more seats, and that's where he's spending all his time. He's not really thinking about other issues right now. And the good news is I'm spending time both getting the government more efficient. We've come up with a lot of good new solutions to save taxpayer money. But I'm talking with members of the Democratic Caucus, the General Assembly, one-on-one, talking about what kind of budget compromises we need to get after the election and what reforms we can get so we can grow our economy more, we can protect our property taxpayers from our brutally high property taxes, and what we can do around education funding so we can make it better. So we're laying the groundwork for what I hope is a grand compromise somewhere between November and January.
Ah, the budget.
Want to get back to property taxes, but Governor, first, we have to go through this all again in 4 months, correct? Because this is just a stopgap budget. So are we looking ahead to that?
Well, schools, No, that schools, I made sure schools got fully funded with record levels of money for the for a full year. So that was great news. The stopgap spending plan, I wouldn't even call it a budget. It's really not a budget. A lot of things didn't get appropriation. It's just a stopgap spending plan to cover certain issues, and it gets us through January. Because what the leaders in the Democratic caucus said is, we're not going to talk about a balanced budget. We're not going to talk about reforms again until after the election. And at that point, we'll take it up. You know, if you follow Illinois' history down in Springfield, the speaker has always taken the tough votes in the lame duck session when everybody knows who's going to be seated and who's going to be leaving office in January with the new General Assembly. And you put the people who aren't going to be around anymore on the tough votes. That's the pattern they've done for decades here, and that seems to be what they've got in mind now.
And again, I just urge everybody listening, A, you got to vote, and B, you got to vote for people who you believe actually want to fix the state, not for those who want to stay in power for the sake of staying in power, but want to fix the state. It's not that hard to do the research. It's not that hard to find out who they are.
No, that's exactly right. This is a critical election. It's all about, are you going to support reformers who are going to change the system, which is so clearly broken, or are you going to support the folks who are there supporting the status quo in the existing system? That's why it's so essential that everybody in Illinois ask their candidates, whoever they are, for senator or representative, are you going to support redistricting reform or not, yes or no? Are you going to support term limits, yes or no? Even President Obama came to Illinois last winter and said Illinois needs redistricting reform so we don't have these gerrymandered districts. America needs redistricting reform. The president is correct. This is bipartisan, good government reform. It's what the people want. The people of Illinois overwhelmingly support fair maps, redistricting reform, and they support term limits. And the one way the judges have kept those off the ballot, they keep throwing off the voter referendum, even though we've collected almost 600,000 signatures for both term limits and redistricting. The courts keep saying no to a voter referendum, but the courts have said, yes, if the General Assembly puts those things on the ballot, then the people of Illinois can vote those up or down. So we need the people here, all over Illinois. Ask your candidate, ask your rep or your senator, are you going to support term limits and fair maps and get those on the ballot, yes or no? We got to hold these guys accountable.
Continuing with the big story, Governor, the second installment of property tax bills are out now. Record property taxes, I think that was your quote saying that property taxes have risen three times faster than people are actually making in Illinois in the past 26 years. So when will there be some sort of relief?
No, you know, see, this is our number one tax problem. We have the highest property taxes in America. The system is broken. It's rigged to keep our property taxes high. And it's essential that we get the reforms. If we don't get the reforms that we're advocating, we are just at the tip of the iceberg for how quickly our property taxes are going to rise here in Cook County and around the state of Illinois. We have got to reform the system. That means pension reform. Excuse me. That means education funding reform. And that means economic reforms to make us more competitive so we can grow more jobs. One of the reasons our property taxes keep going up is our tax base keeps eroding. Companies keep leaving and going over to Indiana and Tennessee and Texas where they have lower property taxes and regulations that allow them to compete. We've got to change our economic competitiveness.
Speaking of Indiana, we know tons of guns are pouring over the border from Indiana. What sort of help are you getting from outgoing Governor Mike Pence or the state to stop the supply or to try to tamp it down?
Well, what we've done, I'm very proud of this. I just signed a new bill. We are dramatically increasing the penalties for illegal gun running, and we're closing some of the loopholes that were keeping the state police and our local police officers from being able to really penalize these gun runners. What's happening is folks are running over to Indiana and to other states around us, getting large stocks of guns and then shuttling them back here to Chicago, distributing to the gangs. And what we've done is we've closed the loopholes that allowed some of them to get away with it. And we've increased the penalties. Anybody who is not have a FOID card in Illinois or is not entitled to own a gun out of state, if they're stopped with guns at all, they can be both apprehended but hit with very, very large penalties. And we're gonna clamp down on this as best we can.
We just set a record in Chicago, 400 shootings, Governor, this in August alone. Has there been any thought of adding any relief, the National Guard, anything on a state level that we can do?
Well, what we've done at the state level is we've put in a large surge of state police officers to patrol our expressways. A lot of the gang violence is spilling over onto the highways. They're shooting on the highways and running guns on the highways. And our state police have done an outstanding job, as they always do. They've stopped a number of gang leaders who've been committing crimes with carjackings and thefts and robberies. And we're trying to, you know, increase our support for the Chicago police as much as we can.
Before I let you go, and I know we're all about out of time here, yesterday Gary McCarthy was on and was talking about the unholy alliance between the NRA and the Black Caucus downstate that prevented closing some of the loopholes we're talking about. The thugs that killed Dwayne Wade's cousin, one with an ankle bracelet still on his leg. Look, I don't care how good your lawyer is. I don't care what laws are out there that you may have found a crack in to get out of. How do we tighten this up? How do we tighten the parole system up? How do we tighten this up so these people aren't back on the street? And by the way, these people means anybody, black, white, brown, yellow, or green, that's carrying a gun and has been arrested for a felonious gun possession. Be in jail. Stay in jail.
No, that's right. We've got to toughen up. For violent offenders, violent criminals committing crimes with guns, we've got to be much tougher. What we've also got to do, though, is make sure for nonviolent offenders, for folks who have either a mental health issue or an addiction issue and are nonviolent, those folks, rather than locking them up with the really bad gangs to make them worse offenders, we need to focus on rehabilitation and job training and mental health assistance so they can be back and lead productive lives. And that's what we're trying to do in reforming our criminal justice system.
Vote for the people that want to fix the state, not for the people that want to protect their own interests. Thank you, Governor.
Thanks very much, Steve. Good to be with you.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Here to comment is Democratic political strategist, the raging Cajun himself, James Carville.
Good to be here. Good to be here.
You seem really happy.
Of course I'm happy, Seth. It's almost summertime. Pretty soon I'll be back in Louisiana drinking sweet tea on the porch with my high school buddy, Alligator Joe.
Now, why do you call him Alligator Joe?
Because he's an alligator,
oh,
Seth.
Yeah, yeah.
Seth, let me start by saying I have nothing against guns. And I'm not just saying that because I look like a bullet. Gotta have background checks, Seth. I mean, if this guy can walk out of a gun store without answering some questions, something has gone wrong. I mean, they make me answer 5 questions at the deli.
I love Carville. Now in his 25th year of informing and entertaining America, the Raging Cajun's got a brand new book out. It's called We're Still Right, They're Still Wrong, The Democrats' Case for 2016. James Carville, a little help from Ryan Jacobs as well. And long before everybody went, oh, I like Trump because he's plain speaking, Carville was throwing it down. Welcome to the program, Mr. Carville. Nice to talk to you again.
Thank you. I appreciate that introduction. That's pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
Y'all college football fans.
That's what I was just going to say to you. You love college football more than anything, don't you?
I do, and we got a little tussle coming up in Green Bay here Saturday, I think, between my Tigers and the Badgers of Wisconsin, your part of the world.
Yeah.
At Lambeau, big game.
Are you willing to take a step back and take a hard look at your LSU Tigers and go, ooh, we got a couple of issues, or are you too close to it?
Well, this is my analysis, LSU. We're one step better than our quarterback play. So if our quarterback is good, we'll be very good. If our quarterback is very good, we'll be excellent. If our quarterback is average, we'll just be good. but we're good. We're loaded. The expectations are appropriately high.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they're very high.
Listen,
I want to plug the book, but I also want to talk about something, and that's your home state. The people of Louisiana have gone through hell in the last month, and you know we're 11 years down the road from Katrina almost to the day, and here we go again. And I've heard people say stuff like, well, why'd you live there? Well, why do you live where you live? People live where they live because it's where they grew up. It's where they want to be. And the least we can do is stop down and pause for a second and say a prayer or do what we can. Donate to the Red Cross. Do something to help the people of Louisiana. So what do you know? How are they doing?
All right, let's back up. First of all, we are like people live in Florida or people live in North Carolina or Texas or Alabama or New Jersey. We're subject to hurricanes.
Right.
That's always been the case.
Right.
That's no doubt about it. But it's like people that live in California or Washington State are subject to earthquakes, or people that live in Oklahoma and Kansas and Indiana are subject to tornadoes. Now, having said that, what happened in Baton Rouge was not a that could have happened anywhere. That these 90% of people did not live in a flood zone. They weren't required to have flood insurance. They had what was referred to as a 1,000-year rainstorm. And the rivers, Louisiana's not the only state with rivers, the river level went above flood level, and all the streams that went into to that river got backed up, and they couldn't get in,
right.
So you had that kind of flooding. I mean, this was not a necessarily an event that means you live in Louisiana. It was 32 inches of rain in 48 hours.
Yeah, yeah. Unprecedented. I mean, you know, biblical, literally biblical.
Literally biblical, absolutely. And, you know, look, of the seven or six happiest, what you would say counties, you'd say parishes, in the United States, like of the 10, six in South Louisiana. People love their way of life down
sure.
here. We have our, you know, we have our own food, we have our own music, we even have our own funerals, we have our own architecture. You know, we have a way of life. And it's a way of life. It is not for everybody, but it's the way that we live. And you know, yesterday was Monday. Well, I had red beans for lunch, as I do every Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to Baton Rouge today. My daughter's a freshman at LSU, where her daddy went, where her grandfather went, where her aunts and uncles went, where I think it'd be kind of like 15 of her cousins went. And that's our tradition. That's what our family does. And I'm ecstatic about that. And I can understand where people like live in, you know, Chicago. My wife grew up on the south side of Chicago, 125th and Commercial.
Yep.
And, you know, her dad worked in the steel mills, and they had a way of life in that.
You live where you live because you live there. Yeah. And hopefully you love where you live. So that's all I'm saying is have some respect for people.
I'm agreeing with you. Yeah, we're on the same page of this, Hamill.
All right, so here's my question, because we have never been in an S show like this in campaign 2016. Your book's called "We're Still Right, They're Still Wrong." I think the choice is pretty clear to folks who's leading in the polls and who's scariest. Having said that, "We're Still Right, They're Still Wrong" implicates all Republicans are nuts and all Republicans are the problem. You did a good job. Well, hold on. You and President Clinton figured out a way to work with Newt Gingrich. Doesn't Hillary have to work with Republicans?
She does. And look, no one can disagree with it. We've had two, by measures of public approval or anything else, we've had two relatively successful Democratic presidencies. We've had a disastrous Republican presidency. And if you go back and you look, and what I do is I take you through the timeline of what happened in why I'm making this argument. And I start out with the whole argument about climate change, which Trump says is a Chinese hoax. That's not, you can be a good person and believe that the Earth is 5,000 years old. Okay, that's fine. It doesn't make you a bad human being,
right.
But you would be dead wrong.
Right.
All right. And I think one of the reasons that you see in this internal revolt in the Republican Party is that everything that they told them, from where we're going to be weapons of mass destruction to we're going to be great as liberators, we're going to be a bastion of democracy, to the fact that you had to go out. Remember when they were telling these poor people to go out and buy gold the dollar was going to crash, you know? So if you did something like that, you went broke. And then they told you, oh, by God, Romney's going to win the election. Yeah, well, that didn't happen. And then they tell you that he would all die from Ebola. And I mean, at some point in politics, it doesn't make you a bad person if you thought Romney was going to win the election. You can go to heaven when you die. But at some point, in the politics, if you don't have an accounting, then that leads to real trouble.
I get it. Now, we got that subtle click from your publisher that wants us to wrap up the interview. But, Andre, remind them what the book is called.
We Are Still Right, They're Still Wrong. And in the last chapter, you say, do facts matter anymore? Do they?
Well, I mean, facts matter. Excuse me. You have facts that you want and facts that you don't want. But over a period of time, if you ask people, is the economy any good, then if you're a Republican, you're more likely to say it's bad than if you're a Democrat. But if you ask people if the stock market has gone up, you might get a considerable another answer. I mean, what's the fact? I mean, the fact is that in Chicago, violent crime has been dropped precipitously in the last 25 years.
Right.
If you ask somebody, they said, no, it's horrible. It's worse than it's ever been.
Right.
There's not evidence to support that, but so does the fact matter? You know, it matters to some facts matter to some people, some facts matter to other people. But what was the fact is that the war in Iraq was an utter disaster. I don't think anybody, even the Republicans don't even argue that anymore. And the recession of 2008 was caused by unregulated people leveraging and buying stuff that they had no business buying and collapsed the world economy. And, you know, the government had to bail it out. It made people furious. That's a fact. That can't be sort of like denied. You know, you go back and you look at all these things and it adds up to something. And why we have to have consequences. We tell a fourth grader there's consequences to your action. If you do this, you're gonna get punished. You have to stand in the corner. You got to study. You got to do things. We got to expect some of the same things out of our, you know, out of our political leaders.
Demand it. I mean, the bar is too low already. All right, listen, I know you got to run. I just wanted to make sure I knew that you love a couple Republicans other than your wife. I just wanted to make sure you didn't hate all of them.
And I got like a ton of friends in you know, and the system works better when everybody is throwing. And there's some good state level Republican ideas. I mean, you could say the Democrats in Illinois had been in charge, and the state is a fiscal mess. I wouldn't argue that.
No, it'd be hard to.
It's kind of hard, dog. That's fine. It doesn't answer the thing. I said, well, you know, you got a point there.
Hey, good catching up with you. We'll do it again. Hold on a second. It's James Carville. We're still right. They're still wrong. A couple of texters here. Earlier this morning, Sandberg announced that she and Pat, who have been married now for 2.5 weeks, are clearly having deep personal marital issues. He left the Diet Coke box out instead of throwing it away.
Right, and the recycling.
Texters responding, after listening to the Diet Coke empty box story, I'm so happy that I'm single and have no intentions of ever going through that again. 847 for all the single guys out there. Here you go. This is the reason why you don't get married. Pat Boyle, this 708 texter, Pat Boyle, get out now. She's cute. She's quirky. In a year, it ain't so funny. Run.
Wow.
815, on the subject of leaving things on the counter, I do that specifically because my handwriting is lousy. And if I try to put something on her shopping list, my wife cannot read what I wrote. We worked out a system where I leave the empty whatever on the counter for a to-do note that I... using props for
right?
a to-do note? You're a grown man.
Right.
How bad could your handwriting be?
Can you not write Coke?
Maybe he's trying to spell out help in garbage. A couple of minutes before 8 news next, and then Dean, including with Dean, the new list of Dancing with the Stars cast members just announced on 720 WJZ.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what that should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
Dean Richards live at Channel 9. Good morning.
Hello there.
We got a lot to talk about here, but our long national nightmare is over. We have a new Dancing with the Stars cast. Can you tell me, I'm on pins and needles, who is in the cast?
What would you say if I told you that Rick Perry was going to be one of the...
That's the lead singer for Aerosmith?
Was That's the former true. Governor of Texas.
What?
Remember he was running for president just
what?
A few months ago?
Yeah, he's the guy that couldn't remember his three things.
Right.
Rick Perry, the former governor of Texas, is in Dancing with the Stars.
He is in Dancing with the... You know, you can't get up to be president.
Wow.
You go for the next best thing. What would you do if I told you...
I'd like to see Harry Reid in there with his eye patch. His pirate eye patch.
I would love an old political Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, because those guys, they got the moves like Jagger. I would. All right, who else you got?
I got a Ryan Lochte.
Oh, it's official. He's in, huh?
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be in Vanilla. I got a Vanilla Ice. Ice Ice Baby.
Why do I feel like Vanilla Ice has already done this show?
Doesn't it seem like it? Yeah.
I thought that, too.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that, too. I got a Maureen McCormick, best known
Marcia.
As Marcia from the Brady Bunch.
Well, that's good. That'd be good. People love that.
I got a Mary Lou Henner. She probably would actually be pretty good on this.
I would think so.
Don't you think?
Yeah, she ad-libs a floor exercise right in the middle of it.
I thought she was already on, too.
Me too, but now we have like 360. I mean, Maureen McCormick's 60. Mary Lou is like 64-ish, and the governor is in his 60s.
Oh, I'm thinking of somebody else. Mary Lou Henner is the taxi chick.
Yeah, with the red hair.
Taxi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who was I thinking of? I was thinking of a gymnast. There's no gymnast named Mary Lou. What's the matter with
that? Mary Lou Retton.
Mary Lou Retton, that's it.
Good job, Steve.
Mary Lou Henner, though, has written a lot of books on exercise and lifestyle improvement. Mm. That's what I thought you were talking about.
Yeah, she's beautiful. Yeah. She'll be on the show tomorrow. She was in here, I don't know, 5-10 years ago. She was all hands. I go, hey, my eyes are up here.
Mary Lou Henner?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, it's always a problem. Lori Hernandez, the Olympic gymnast. Is going to be part of
the kid. Yeah, she was good. Yeah, yeah.
Babyface Edmonds, Kenny Babyface Edmonds, 11-time Grammy winner.
You got that whip appeal. Yeah. Love Babyface. I'm going to play whip appeal 500 times between now and the end of Dancing with the Stars.
James Hinchcliffe, one of the most popular drivers on the IndyCar series.
Yeah, of course he is, yeah.
I had to look him up. I'm like, who is he?
He's the Hinchcliffe.
Thought he was Heathcliff. Who is this guy?
Hinchcliffe. All right, who else?
Tara Jolay, actress, producer, singer, TV personality.
Tara Jolay, who is that?
Let me see.
She's actually a little person.
Oh.
Yeah, she's from that show, right. Little Women.
Tara's Little Family.
Yes.
Little Women LA and Tara's Little Family.
Mm-hmm.
So she will be the first little person, Steve, to be on the show.
Okay. Well, I mean,
besides Lori Hernandez, the gymnast, who is also quite
a small person,
quite
but,
small.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, who else do we have?
Okay, news to me. Anybody else?
Let me see who else.
I mean, this is an impressive list. These are big stuff.
Calvin Johnson's on there.
Yeah,
isn't
Calvin Johnson. That's the only football player, I think.
Define impressive, Steve.
Well, if Tom Bergeron is the most famous member of that list.
Oh, here's one. Jana Kramer, the country singer, the One Tree Hill girl. Do you know who she is? Is
Jana?
J-A-N-A. Jana.
Jana Kramer.
Jana Kramer?
Yeah, I had to look her up, too.
Kramer with a C or a K?
With a K. With a
Kramer.
K.
She's very pretty.
I'll be the judge of that. Well, look at that.
And Amber Rose. There's another one.
Look at that.
Oh, Amber Rose, that knucklehead?
The model. Yeah, the one married to Wiz Khalifa.
Yeah, and again, if you're having a problem with Wiz Khalifa, get to a doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Painful.
Thanks for the setup. All right, well, that's quite a list. That's quite a list of people. Early favorites, let's go to Mary, the dancer on the show. Mary, who do you like?
Well, I think gymnasts should be banned from the show because they always do well.
Sure.
They always have a lot of energy. They can flip. They can do all kinds of
and
stuff.
And we know Ryan Lochte will lie about his scores even when they're presented in front of him. I didn't get an eight. I got an 8.5.
Swimmers are never good. Yeah, but Lori Hernandez is going to be the
You like Lori Hernandez?
Yeah.
Okay, Lori Hernandez. All right, there you go. Isn't there usually a geezer on the show? Is that Rick Perry? Perry's not that old.
Perry's probably
the
oldest
one.
Because they usually have an 80-year-old.
Mary Lou Henner is.
According to Wikipedia, Rick Perry's 2 years older.
How old's Rick Perry?
66.
Oh, he looks good. He looks good for 66.
Old.
I think Maureen McCormick is going to be a favorite.
I think she'll be good also.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, I'm just thrilled that we know the
guest. You know the name?
Yeah, this is going to be
I got to admit, though, of all the reality crap on TV, I will watch a little Dancing with the Stars.
You will, yeah.
Yeah.
And I will be putting up a blog on it, too. So
yes, you will.
Catch that.
Yeah, you're a dancing consultant.
Yes.
Justin Bieber, Ice Cube, and Taylor Swift all walk into a bar. No, that's not right. They're going to be on the Dean follow-up here in just a second. And, of course, thoughts about Gene Wilder in a moment.
You'll be calling his name, Dean Richer, the entertainment editor, Channel 972.
Back to Channel 9, where Dean is standing by. Are you at your desk now?
I am at my desk.
What's is Anna Balaval's desk next to yours?
Right next door.
Go through the top drawer and the couple drawers, see what's in there.
What am I looking for?
I don't know. Just see if there's anything in there. It might be fun.
Oh, okay. Hang on.
There's Dean going through Anna Balaval's desk at work.
But tell him don't take it. Just look. You know, she might have medicine or things she needs in there. Lipstick.
Wouldn't it be funny if
there's
I planted
a wig.
Something?
There's a wig.
Wow. Put it on.
And take a selfie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see what else. Raisinettes.
A wig and raisinettes.
I don't like raisinettes.
I think, Dean, I could be wrong, but I think the new morning show at B96 is wig and raisinettes. Yeah, I think that's right. All right, well, thanks for snooping.
We often will wear fake hair on the show for comedic effect.
You mean it's not just a pelsa?
I think this, it looks like an Irish step dancing wig. It's super curly, and on St. Patrick's Day, Anna, you know, puts on the, you know, like the Irish step dancing wig.
Andre wanted you to put it on and take a selfie and send it to us. So.
I'm not wearing wigs today.
Okay. Ice Cube supporting Donald Trump. This seems weird to me.
No, he's not. That's the thing. It's all over social media, though, that he is. And even with pictures of him wearing a Donald Trump T-shirt. And Ice Cube yesterday sent out his own social media yesterday saying he does not support Donald Trump for president. And tweeted the photo of him in this T-shirt and wrote, "Stealing endorsements is not how you become president of the United States, homie. Leave my name out your mouth." And there's have been no comments yet from the Trump camp. So,
in a semi-related story, Donald Trump claims that Gene Wilder's death means people will vote for him. I don't know. It's very weird.
And has blamed Hillary Clinton for
Hillary Clinton for the death of Gene Wilder. Yeah. Taylor Swift did jury duty?
She went to jury duty. She got dismissed because the case that they were going to hear was an aggravated rape case. She's involved in a pending civil case right now in Colorado, in which a radio DJ, I know you'll find this very hard to believe, Steve, but a radio DJ allegedly inappropriately touched her backstage during a concert. So she's involved in a case right now. So the judge...
That doesn't seem like typical DJ behavior.
No, DJs are usually super above board.
Very upstanding.
Very moral.
When they're not with the carnival.
Appropriate.
Yeah, when they're not touring with the carnival.
Hey, man, I'm going to go stand next to Taylor Swift, man.
Yeah.
But she did
What's
show...
his name? Boy Cow? Cousin Cow? Something like that?
It's one of the cows.
Yeah.
She did show up for her jury duty. She did report in Nashville. She took selfies with people because that's what you do when you're on jury duty. You just take selfies with the other people.
But she was dismissed. You know why? Because the judge wasn't a Swiftie. That's what I'm hearing. I don't make stuff up.
Do you want somebody on your jury who's, you know, they have a predisposition to haters gonna hate?
That's a good point.
Shouldn't you really hear the facts of the trial?
I think the legal term you're looking for, Dean, is haters going to hate.
You went to law school longer than I did.
I did.
So.
Justin Bieber's back on Instagram.
Thank goodness. Yeah. Our long national nightmare is over.
Send it here as well.
Yeah. He deactivated his Instagram account when his ex-girlfriend started posting things, following him posting pictures of his new girlfriend. But yesterday, his Instagram account was back up and running again. Today, his Instagram account has been deactivated again.
Isn't that amazing? No matter how many asinine things happen on social media, you're still going to find somebody the next day ago, it'll never happen to me. And then they go and they do what they do. And in Bieber's case, he's been on and off 58 times now.
He turns it on and turns it off. He's the Anthony Weiner of Instagram activation, if you will.
What do you think happens to Anthony Weiner now? I mean, he might as well do porn. I mean, there's really, what else is he going to do? I mean, there's no career for him out there. Who's going to hire him?
Could he wind up on Dancing with the Stars? I mean, isn't that the kind of people that they look for?
That's not a bad idea, Dean.
Right?
Yeah, this probably happened too close, or they would have put him on the cast.
Yeah, he'll be on there.
But then you had to kick off one of the really other big stars. Are we sure Mary Lou Henner hasn't already been on the show? On Dancing with the Stars?
I don't think she has. Maybe you're thinking of Cloris Leachman.
No, I've never confused those two.
Wow. Sorry, Miss Henner.
Sorry.
And Vanilla Ice was on a European version.
Oh, well, that's probably it, because I never missed the European version of Dancing with the Stars.
Yes, I know you were watching that.
All right, before we go, Dean and I grew up in an era where stuff was actually funny. And there was nothing funnier than Gene Wilder. Gene Wilder in Young Frankenstein, just unbelievable.
I'm sitting here this morning writing obituaries like I've done so many times this year in 2016. Please, can this year end with all this? But I'm sitting here and looking at clips and, you know, putting little montages and things together. I am laughing my head off at this obituary that I'm working on this morning. He was so funny, effortlessly funny, with the turn of an eye or just a slight facial expression, laughing my head off. But, you know, it's the writing. It's the supporting cast around him. Young Frankenstein is, you know,
Frankenstein
was considered, one of the greatest comedies of all time, as is Blazing Saddles, in which he appears, as is The Producers. Go down the list. His Richard Pryor collaborations, most of them were pretty funny. Some of the scenes from Stir Crazy with Richard Pryor, hilariously funny.
He was great in the original Producers.
He was amazing in the original Producers with Zero Mostel. But Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory truly is one of the most underrated movies of all time. It's magical. It's childlike. When you watch it as a child, you see it in a when you watch it as an adult, rather, you
see it in a different movie.
Completely different, nuanced way.
And he was a great talent singing. When it came to singing on stage, I mean, we're not talking about a recording career guy. We're talking about a comedian who's not supposed to be able to sing, and he pulled it off brilliantly.
Yeah.
This wasn't the Mamma Mia thing. He could actually sing.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know, where nobody could sing in Mamma Mia.
Where
you
nobody
remember.
Could sing in the, yeah. Right. Yeah. I seem to be. I've had so much electroshock therapy to try to.
You blocked that out.
Seeing that movie.
But I loved him. I loved Gene Wilder.
Me too.
Did you ever meet him? Because I had him on a bunch of times.
Never did.
Oh, he's so nice.
Never did. I sure would have liked to. And, you know, nothing but respect for the man. Was married for just under 5 years. He was married four times, but just under 5 years to Gilda Radner. Before she died of ovarian cancer in the late 1980s.
And the Gilda's Club thing was a continuation of the legacy for her.
Right, exactly. As a tribute to Gilda Radner, he co-founded Gilda's Club, of which we have one of the most amazing chapters here in the Chicago area. But, there are Gilda's Clubs everywhere now that support people who are living with cancer. And that's because of the work of Gene Wilder.
Pretty amazing.
As a result of that. 83 years old.
Good run.
He kept private that he was living with Alzheimer's for the last 3 years. A family member said that he wanted to keep it private. He didn't want little kids who would often stop him, you know, and say, oh, there's Willy Wonka. He didn't want kids to know that Willy Wonka was sick. So he never said anything about his disease publicly. But also, how sweet when he passed away at his home in Connecticut, surrounded by his family, holding hands with his family, and listening to Ella Fitzgerald music. It was his favorite singer.
Wow.
Listening to...
That may be the way to go out.
Yeah. When he actually passed, was listening to Ella Fitzgerald sing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. So how about that for a goosebump moment?
No kidding. That's a great story. Thank you, buddy.
See you tomorrow.
That's Dean. We're back after this with a big story on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN.
I know some of you appreciate the fact there's been limited campaign stuff on the show today. This being show number 724, if you're scoring at home. At Cochran Show on Twitter, Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show. But there's a couple things I got to bring up. Gary Johnson isn't going away. Starting to do a few more interviews now. Sandberg, what's the update on Gary Johnson and William Weld blowing us off for the opportunity to do another interview on the show?
They are still continuing to blow us off.
What does their person say?
She just said they're waiting till they have time.
They're going to have a lot of that probably in December.
Oh, a lot of that starting November 9th.
And I offered them the full hour, and then when she said they were looking for the time, I said, well, they could just do one or two segments if that was too intimidating or something. But
I'm wondering if there's a problem with Johnson and Weld. Remember when they were here, the weird body language where Weld was kind of, Hey, you ought to be talking to me. I'm smarter than he is.
I think we all agree they should be flipped anyway.
Yeah, so. They should be flipped. But I'm wondering if there's some issue between the two of them, because you're not seeing Weld anywhere. And Johnson always called Weld his not necessarily his mentor, but somebody he really looked up to in a successful governorship of Massachusetts as a Republican in a Democratic state. So I don't know. But the fact that they had a really good time here for an hour and now they won't come back is very bizarre to me.
Maybe somebody left a Diet Coke box.
That could be. That could explain it. That could absolutely explain it.
He wrote an op-ed piece, Gary Johnson, for CNN, but it's CNN.com. So it was for their website. So it's like writing an editorial, you know. For the
so everything in the Johnson Weld world is just sort of in the mainstream.
Yeah, it's there.
It's sort of in the game.
It's there. You just have to find it.
Trump has an ad coming. I'm starting to spend a little money. I want you to listen to this commercial. This is Donald Trump on a tax plan that he has said over and over again he doesn't support. This is the actual commercial.
In Hillary Clinton's America, the middle class gets crushed. Spending goes up. Taxes go up. Hundreds of thousands of jobs disappear. It's more of the same, but worse. In Donald Trump's America, working families get tax relief. Millions of new jobs created. Wages go up. Small businesses thrive. The American dream achievable. Change that makes America great again. Donald Trump for president.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Completely counter. Completely counter. I wonder if Trump even knows that they're running that. I wonder if Trump is even in the meeting where they run that. They go, well, he won't notice. He won't pay attention. He's tweeting.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Trump's tax plan is a top-down sort of one-off version of trickle-down Reaganomics, the one that he's at least stayed on point with most often when he talks about taxes. Maybe he's forgotten he said it. That's possible.
That's definitely possible.
Meanwhile, the Trump campaign is disavowing support by your friends in hoods. David Duke, the Louisiana Senate candidate and former, was he Grand Wizard, Grand Poobah
of
the Ku Klux Klan? Here's a robocall he's sending out all over Louisiana.
Hi, this is David Duke. I'm sorry I missed you. I'm running for U.S. Senate, and I'll tell the truth that no other candidate will dare say. Unless massive immigration is stopped now, we'll be outnumbered and outvoted in our own nation. It's happening. We're losing our gun rights, our free speech. We're taxed to death. We're losing our jobs and businesses to unfair trade. We're losing our country. Look at the Super Bowl salute to the Black Panther cop killers. It's time to stand up and vote for Donald Trump for president and vote for me, David Duke, for the U.S. Senate. I'd love to hear from you. To find out more, contribute or volunteer, go to davidduke.com. Go to davidduke.com. Together, we'll save America and save Louisiana. Paid for by Duke Campaign.
By the way, it's BYOH, bring your own hood. So
did he record that on a Marantz?
Yeah,
if you're
I
doing
think so.
A robocall.
Yeah. He had a Walkman. Yeah, he had a Walkman from the 80s.
Trump's campaign telling Politico that they had no knowledge that he was doing that.
Trump doesn't know that Duke called either. Trump, they don't. Trump. The best way to get Trump elected is not to include him in any meetings. The New York Times is out with an editorial this morning that says it's an ethical imperative for Hillary Clinton to cut ties with the foundation that her husband has fronted for a long time, that Chelsea is in a lot of ways about to take over. It's absolutely true. It doesn't matter how much good the Clinton Foundation does or has done. You can't be president of the United States and have those kind of ties. You can't. And for her stalling on splitting that up and his stalling on splitting it up just goes to the Clintons have one set of rules and everybody else has another. And back to Trump for a second. This is one of my two favorite stories of the day. It's from Business Insider, which is pretty entertaining, by the way, if you get a chance to check out their businessinsider.com website. I get nothing for saying that. I'm just telling you, I see it. If you notice that Donald Trump's plain-speaking ways sound childlike at times, it's because a report analyzed about 4,000 words of public speeches from prominent public figures over the past 2 years, and the assessment is that Donald Trump speaks when he's at his best at a fourth or fifth grade level.
Really?
Yeah. Trump speaks at a fourth or fifth grade level. Hillary Clinton generally is ahead of him in these sort of polls by a couple of points. She's at least speaking at a high school or college level, depending on the word breakdown that you have.
Lower.
There's also an article in The Hill the Hill that has given us the congressional popularity comparisons. Based on Donald Trump's recent popularity figures, what's Donald Trump less popular than? And it's the usual stuff. It's cockroaches. It's rashes. It's stuff like that.
We haven't done that.
They rank higher. It's on the Hill. We'll see if we can pull it off. And aren't you at least intrigued with the debate still a month away on how Donald Trump's going to do in his first appearance in front of a black crowd Saturday at the church in Detroit?
Who the hell knows?
He knows words.
Can't you see Trump? Trump's going to go off prompter and he's going to go, there's my African-American. Remember that moment?
Oh, that was brutal.
He's just, he is one slip up away from going, who's a Negro? I'm a Negro. Oh. He's got, I'm telling you, it's going to happen. He's going to fall off the rails again. Oh, the debates are going to be great, don't you think? And you thought reality TV was good. Reality is even better. So after the show today and tightening up some important details, I mean, you know, most days I don't get out of here till 10:15. I mean, you know, it's a grind. But I'm going to go and it's not babysitting because it's my own grandkid.
It's technically babysitting, though.
Is that the title?
Well, or spending time with, but she might be a little young to appreciate that term.
My son Ross is working from home today in his big shop business career.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be hanging out with Abigail doing things that entertain an eight-month-old.
Okay, so are you going to, I mean, I know it's raining, but are you going to take her out? Or are you just going to stay in the apartment and play?
Might be fun to go out in the rain.
Well, you got to bundle her up, put her in a little rain slicker.
What about me? I might catch a chill.
Oh, we don't care about you. We just want the baby to be okay.
No, I probably wouldn't take her out in the rain. But it's funny to think about the fact that, and I think most parents do this. Dave, you can speak to this. Mary as well. Your kid is still your kid, no matter how old your kid is.
Correct.
So this is my kid's kid. And while I'm goofing around, you know, being an idiot with my favorite eight-month-old, he's going to be down the hall working, and I'm sure listening down the hall going, oh, I hope he doesn't screw anything up. I don't know if he knows what he's doing.
He's going to keep the baby monitor on in the next room just to make sure you're not, you know.
He actually has an adult monitor for me.
Yeah,
being a bad baby monitor for Abigail.
And the video monitor, too, will be on.
Yeah.
Better watch it for that one.
We didn't, you know, Dave, you remember this, Mary, as well. We didn't have baby monitors.
No.
We actually had a guy in a stone tablet who would chip out images of the child and then run them in if there were any changes.
Wait, so you guys, you didn't have baby monitors for your kids?
We did, but they were like, sometimes they worked, sometimes they picked up the neighbor's dog.
Yeah, they weren't that good. Yeah, you could hear other frequencies on them.
Well, this was the early 90s. This is shortly after answering.
We used our ears, or we just ignored
the
cries.
You listened.
Yeah,
that's all.
Exactly.
Kid cried, you went and picked him up.
Because now you can pull it up on your...
I wasn't waiting for an app to tell me that the child needed attention.
And now
you
need to
say, now you can... there's an app where you can look online and see what's going on. Yeah. Kind of like how you can watch your home or your garage or your backyard.
Right.
They have the apps. And now they also have noise machines that some kids can't go to sleep without the noise
machines. Yeah, no, Abigail has one.
Oh, it's crazy.
I have one.
Well, she's 8 months old. She's not crazy. You're crazy.
I said, it's crazy, not she is crazy. Oh, man.
Mary, I tried to save you there.
Bite my head off.
Not cool.
Said it.
Defending my granddaughter. Can't believe you called her crazy. She's 8 months old.
So you got to turn the video monitor on, the sound monitor, the noise machine.
Well, she's not requesting
that. What else you got to get on?
No, she's not. Well,
I'm just telling you.
We hired a harpist, an actual human with a harp to come in and play. So she can go to sleep.
Did you really buy her all those toys?
What do you mean?
You said you bought $500 worth of toys?
No. I bought two things yesterday.
Okay. And you'll play with the toys.
They cost $500.
No, yeah, exactly. They were $500. No, just a couple things. That's all.
Well, what are you bringing today as a treat?
Me.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm the treat. I bring all this up because the hottest video on the internet is a two-year-old kid singing from yesterday.
Are you going to play this? Because I'm going to leave the room.
Why do you not like this kid?
No, I love kids. I do. I love children. Except
your godkids. You're showing me pictures all the time. You love your
godkids.
I love
my godchildren. They're just the light of my life. But this little girl, you've heard this, right?
Violet. Wait, is this Rose Traffic Woman? Violet.
No, Violetta.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's a different one.
Because she's very young as well.
Not this young.
This is Violet Ogea, I believe is her name. She's 2 years old. Listen.
Yeah, see,
not a kid, it's an Ewok.
Like the Muppet making a resurgence.
Right. Big finish. Big finish.
She's done.
Here's the thing. I took that when you were out of the room and I made it your ringtone on your phone.
You did not.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And I also sent Bennett over to your house to make sure that your alarm would go off in the morning with her saying that
I'd
as well.
Definitely wake up and slam it shut. No, she's a cute kid, but come on, that's annoying.
Well, you should be annoyed at the kid. You'd be annoyed at the parents that had the kid do the kid didn't learn how to do that on her own.
And by the way, she skipped a few letters too. That's all I'm saying.
How do you know? You don't know the alphabet. It's a couple minutes before 9.
ABC.
Wintrust Community Banks Hour continues. And by the way, you could take that same piece of tape, and if I told you that's a 105-year-old woman, you'd think it was.
I thought it was Ethel Merman.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Next hour on the program, Henry Winkler. The Fonz, and also our friend Mark Doyle. I haven't seen Mark in a while, from Rags of Honor. He'll be here as well on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Now. If you are, not that anybody on the show would be on this list, but if you're a alumni for the University of Illinois, I have some sad news this morning. You're no longer the nation's number one party school.
We slipped to number 3.
The Princeton list, the college reviews, Princeton reviews, annual college lists are out. There's a million different cuts of this. But the University of Wisconsin is number 1. Badgers, drunken. Dave, how do you feel about a drunken Badger? That doesn't sound like a great
dangerous
idea.
Dangerous.
Drunken Badgers are always dangerous. Dayton, Ohio. The Flyers from Dayton, they come in at number 2.
Really? Yeah. We have some parents of Dayton Flyers on our staff here.
Now, I've got Illinois at number 10.
Oh, I thought it was number 3. We fell to 10?
Number 3 is Bates College, never heard of it, in Lewiston, Maine. Mm-hmm. 4 is Beloit College. Beloit College, most famous for the Beloit College list every year.
Mm-hmm. And not far from Madison, by the way, so...
Maybe that's just your downwind. Lehigh is 5th, University of Florida 6th, West Virginia University 7th. West Virginia University, number 7 party school. You know one of the fine products of West Virginia University is? The head of Mylan Pharmaceuticals that raised the price of the EpiPen.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
Colgate University at number 8. Number 9 is Syracuse. Those are tough winners. You're going to drink if you go to Syracuse.
Yeah.
And then University of Illinois in at number 10.
And we were number 1 last year or number 3?
Number 1.
And we fell to 10. See, you know what? That just goes to show you can be a fine educational institution and still have time to party.
Did a bar close, Andrea?
They had a couple close, yeah.
Did a bar close?
No, it's a very serious question. There was a bar, one of the biggest...
I don't think it's a very serious question.
No, one of the biggest dance bars when I was there 10 years ago, Cochran's.
Yeah, Cochran's.
It was a dance bar, and then they have CAMS and COs, which are connected.
CODs.
And CO Daniels, it was called. CO Daniels, but we just call it COs. Of course, famous for their Time Warp Tuesday parties, where they give away free bar, free food, free drinks. CO Daniels is now closed.
Yes.
So CAMS is still there, though.
Yeah, but CO, that's been closed for a while.
No, it's just about a year.
Oh, see, that's what did it. Mm-hmm. That's moved us down the list.
Yeah, by the way, this is the beer list. I can't find the party list particular, but the list the list breaks it down to beer, hard liquor, scotch, and weed.
Oh, there's no weed at UI.
So I don't know if there's an amalgamation of all of those. Do they put them all on a Richard Simmons salad shooter and decide what the rankings are?
Here is the ranking just based on party schools. It's Madison number 1.
Where'd you find this?
This is from Princeton Review.
I'm looking at the same thing.
But you have the list of just the party. I thought you just had the beer list.
I couldn't get the party schools up, yeah.
Party schools, yeah.
All right, Wisconsin 1, who's 2?
West Virginia.
Okay.
U of I 3.
Yeah, that's where we were 3, yeah.
Followed by Lehigh.
You're proud of that.
No, I am.
We are just... We are just as lushy as we've always been.
No, it, like I said, it just goes to show that we could be a fine educational institution and still learn how to have a good
and
time.
And chronic drunks. Four.
Lehigh.
Yeah.
Bucknell, fifth.
Okay.
And then your Iowa Hawkeyes, sixth.
Iowa
at
six.
They were one last year.
Well, there you go.
I don't, they were two last year. I don't even know.
How would you know? You were drunk. You were at University of Illinois.
Go Hawkeyes.
I was just there a few years ago, so.
Alumni, 2007.
Did you ever have too much to drink while you were there?
Absolutely not.
That's a good answer. It's 9:15. Oh. Fonzie's coming up. We'll talk about the new show called Better Late Than Never.
I thought you were going to say something totally different.
Better Late, We're Almost Dead. I think that's what it's called. With George Foreman, Terry Bradshaw, Henry Winkler, and William Shatner. And a guy you won't know who's like their driver. The show is on NBC. It's on tonight at 9, and we'll talk with Henry Winkler next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Could you move that up a little bit? Over to the left. Hey.
Monday, happy day. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy day. Thursday, Friday, happy day. The weekend comes, my cycle hums.
So I saw the promos for the show, and I said, well, I got to watch this. It's called Better Late Than Ever. It's on NBC, 9 o'clock Chicago time tonight, second episode. And it's George Foreman, who's been on the show many times, Terry Bradshaw as well, Henry Winkler, and William Shatner is a lunatic. Shatner's 85 years old, and the other cast members have a bet on what country he's going to die in as they'd spend a month touring Asia and enjoying life. And no matter what stage of life you're in. Is Henry ready? Waiting on Henry Winkler, who'll be standing by until he finishes up with some yappers in some other city. He's doing a press junket this morning.
I heard a great interview right after Gary Marshall had passed away. They were interviewing him, and he was saying what a force he was. And I'm sure he'll tell the story, too. And at one point, they said, hey, we want Fonzie, you know, Henry Winkler, to have his own show. You know, they did Joni Loves Chachi as a spinoff. And we wanted Fonzie, you know, I think it would have been called The Fonz. And he said, absolutely not. He said, this is my family. This is a team, you know, which was really a cool to his credit, too.
He's a good guy. You guys will let me know if he ever actually joins us for the interview that he's scheduled to currently do. But I do recommend the show. Now, the fifth guy on the show is a comedian from Los Angeles who was hired to kind of drive them around.
Oh, okay.
And sort of be the comedic foil for the rest of the old guys to pick on.
Is he like the Uber guy?
Yeah, a little bit.
Drives him around?
Yeah, a little bit. He's probably in his 30s. But George Foreman and Henry Winkler and Terry Bradshaw are all about 70. Mm-hmm. Shatner. Did you know Shatner was 85?
No.
85 years old. He's older than Orion.
Oh, he could call Orion the kid.
Yeah. And, you know, they both look great. But anyway, I like this show and I'm recommending it. And Henry Winkler joins us now. Good morning, Henry.
What show are you recommending?
Better Late Than Never.
Yeah, that a boy. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, well, I've always got your back. You know that.
You know what? It is true every time we chat.
Yeah, so last week I'm watching the show, and the kid that's driving you around.
Surprise you?
I liked it. I liked it a lot. And, you know, George Foreman was on. And he's been on many times as well, but Foreman was on, and he said something really sweet. He goes, look, I go to Africa, I get this big fight with Muhammad Ali. I never had a piece of cake. I never enjoyed life. He goes, I'm going to enjoy life. And getting together with these guys and doing this, it shows you no matter what's going on in your life, don't quit, keep moving, enjoy your life. And you seem like the cheerleader for this bunch, but it seems like the rest of the boys are getting the message.
You know what? We had the most wonderful time together. I now have four really good friends.
How about that?
That I never had before.
Well, I mean, you could call me. But they fourth.
Well, you know what? If we go again, Steve, you're coming.
The fourth guy. Explain this comedian. What's his name?
Okay, I can't. Steve. Jeff Dye.
Jeff Dye. That's it. That's it.
Jeff Dye. He is a very funny.
He is very funny.
Young man, and he was supposed to be our valet.
Right.
And eventually, we were on the road for 35 days, six cities, five cameras, from 7 in the morning till 9 at night. And he literally just became one of the guys. He is a young comedian who's traveled all over the country doing his stand-up.
Seems like a good guy.
He is a good guy. We really had the most extraordinary time all together. We did things. You know, the whole idea came from a Korean show.
Yeah.
And it is men of age doing, in a culture they absolutely don't understand, doing things you've never done before. Some things I told the producers I will not do and wound up doing them anyway.
There's a point in the show last week, which you can obviously still get on demand, but a point in the show last week where a part of a cow was eaten because of a language dispute that I really thought George Foreman might punch somebody.
I don't understand. I didn't understand Japanese. And she put down, we were in a yakitori restaurant, which was a hole in the wall on a side street somewhere in Tokyo. And I said, hey, you know, this is very bumpy. What exactly did I just put in my mouth? And she said, oh, that's pork vagina.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, that's exactly right. And to see the look.
I think it's still stuck to the wall of the restaurant.
To see the look on Foreman's face was classic. Now, was it right after that that you started to try to guess which city Shatner would die in? Because
no, it was Terry. Terry was the one who was sure that that Bill Shatner, he's 85 years old. It's so hot you feel like you're dressed in bubble wrap. That that Shatner was not going to make it out of Asia.
He's something else, man. Shatner 85 and still running on 7 cylinders.
I'm telling you, and not only that, but remembers everything that he read from the time he was 4.
How about that?
And he wants to tell you everything that he's read since he was 4.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, he definitely was the lecturer. So where are you guys tonight?
Tonight we are in Kyoto, which is one of my favorite cities outside of America in the world. It is just beautiful and geisha. And then we go to Hong Kong, and where I literally become a mongoose to a cobra. And I just want to say that the cobra wins.
Well, I just it's odd that you're still okay. I'm just glad you're okay after surviving that. Andrea, say hi to Henry.
Hey, Henry, how are you?
I'm so good. How are you?
I'm great. It's such a pleasure to talk to you. I saw an interview you did shortly after Gary Marshall had passed away, and you were tell the story about how when he was introducing the backup cast and what he said to you and how it's such a great story.
You know, I not only got a great job from Gary, he introduced me to the world. He wouldn't take bad behavior. There was no room on any of his sets for an actor to be just in a bad mood, to not be professional. So I walked up to him. He's introducing the guest cast on an episode of Happy Days once we're finished filming. And I said, Gary, just can you hurry up? I have to fly to Little Rock to make an appearance. He pointed at me as if, oh, yes, I get it. Thank you very much. He put the microphone down. He came over to me. And he said, don't ever do that again. The guest cast has every right to be introduced as you do.
How about that?
I said, Gary, I will never... I'm going to sit right here in the corner. Call me when you need me. I'm not saying another word.
How about that?
And they offered you at one point, right, a spinoff of the Fonz.
That's right. They offered me my own show. And I said, look, I live because I'm in the midst of these human beings. These are my family. If you take me out of this situation, it will be just horrible. Why would you fix something that isn't broken? I love these people. We get along. We travel all over the world playing softball together. Just leave me alone.
Life's okay. By the way, I'm going to tell you a quick Gary Marshall story. Gary Marshall was a Northwestern guy, Henry. And
sure he is.
So he came through
millions to Northwestern.
Yeah. And he came through WGN many times. And I said, why is it, Gary? Why is it everybody thinks you're Jew? You're a Jew. He goes, let me tell you something. He goes, I can be so Jewish they had to continue me on the next Jew. I fell off the chair.
Yeah.
He was
true. Brilliant. Well, you know what? He was empathetic. He was generous. He's a family. He was a family man above all things. And he had his knees replaced so he could continue playing softball.
About that. Here's a guy that's not going to miss out on
life.
He's
in his closet.
Snap on. And you know what? That's the message of the show. That's the better late than never. Yeah, like everybody gets old, but you don't have to get old. So
you don't have to get old.
That's it. That's it. Well, I enjoy the show, and I'm looking forward to episode two tonight. I know you got to run, but you're always welcome here.
Thank you. And I hope you let me know if you laugh again, because people all over the country for the last 7 days, I've traveled to the East Coast. I've been to the Midwest. I have to say, people have said to me, I haven't laughed this hard in a long time.
That's great.
Genuinely. That's great. And then they said, I nearly peed my pants, so I now carry extra underwear for fans.
That's so sweet. Really, because you're a giver. You're a
Thank
giver.
You.
You're a giver. That's Henry Winkler.
He's the best,
He's
isn't
great.
He?
Just
the
great.
Best.
9:30, big story next, 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
9:40, there's a new viral trend. If you see men making the OK sign and shooting a selfie of themselves, it is because it's OK to talk about mental health. And to talk about mental health issues. So feel free to check that out and spread that trend. It's a good thing. What we know is a lot of our soldiers, our men and women who fight for us abroad, come home and come home in trouble. They come home with emotional issues and things that could lead to, in some cases, homelessness. And one of my heroes in life is my friend Mark Doyle, who started Rags of Honor a few years ago, to try to employ as many homeless vets as possible, because we shouldn't be able to say the term homeless in front of the word vets. Those two shouldn't go together. And Mark Doyle joins us now on the phone, running from one meeting to another, I assume. Good morning.
Hey, buddy. I'm sorry. I got jammed up driving my betrothed Kip to the airport. But I'm actually about two blocks away, but rather than waste your time, I just called in.
You never waste my time. Wait, back this train up. Betrothed?
Yes, my betrothed.
You want to explain?
Yeah, she's this beautiful, amazing woman that I've known for 8 years, and we were best friends, and we got together recently to work on a PSA that she raised the money for on veteran suicide.
Right.
And I helped write the script for it. Martin Sheen recorded it. We worked on it, and lo and behold, after 8 years of just being best friends, who knew?
How'd I miss this memo?
You're getting the scoop right now. We're actually going viral with it right now.
Wow. Well, I've got to, obviously, as all things go in your relationships in life, I'll need to meet her and approve her.
I tried to get her here today, but she was otherwise engaged, but we'll bring her on for a full show.
So guys like do that too? You guys have to approve of the...
No, I just have to approve.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah,
Steve's my go-to guy.
I'm the clearance. Clearance. Hey, before I ask you about Rags, which of course is the most important reason to be on the show, I've got to ask you about being a body man. Now, explain what a body man is to a politician.
A body man is the person who... generally keeps the schedule, briefs the principal, does all sort of the politics around the principal. For instance, like with Biden, as you know, I was his body guy, traveled with him full time. You're the last guy he sees before you put him down for the night and say, listen, boss, this is what we're going to do in the morning. We've got two meetings at 8, and then we've got another meeting after this, and we're going to see the mayor after this. Then in the morning, you wake him up and you brief him and you make sure he's got his stuff for the day and his notes for the day, his schedule for the day. You go for the briefing book. You work with all the people on the ground around the principal saying, where are we? Are we late? How's the site looking? And so you really sort of manage the principal's day, and you manage all the world around him as you go through the day. Woman.
How is that different than chief of staff?
The chief of staff is usually somebody who almost always stays in the office and is responsible for the entire staff, right?
Got it.
So they've got to manage everything back in the home office.
So you're managing the candidate or the elected official. The chief of staff is managing the office.
Roger that. Yep.
Got it. All right. The reason I bring all this up is because Huma Abedin is essentially, or started out, I should say, after being an intern, as Hillary Clinton's body woman. And I the term was all over the news in the past 24 hours, and I wanted people to understand what it was. It's a crucially important job, and it goes to how much Hillary Clinton trusts Huma Abedin. But this notion that's been put forth that there somehow has been a security breach because Huma Abedin would have told her knucklehead, soon-to-be ex-husband, about anything of security related to conversations with Hillary Clinton or about Clinton, that she would share any of that with her husband is beyond ludicrous.
And that's
been thrown out there, and I just think it's a ridiculous assertion. And I don't know Huma Abedin. I just know a little bit about how it works.
It is folly to think, hey, that even as close as you are, look, I was very close to the vice president, but when it comes to security briefings and things he did as the, he was the secretary of, he was the chairman of foreign relations. I wasn't in those briefings. He didn't share that stuff with me.
Right.
Right. And Hillary Clinton didn't share anything that she got in classified briefings with Huma Abedin. It's ridiculous. That part is ridiculous. You're right.
So, all right, clearing all that up, let's talk about Rags. Rags of Honor is at Rags. What's the website to order from?
Ragsofhonor.us.
And you can go there. You can order high-quality shirts, hoodies, hats, gear. With great partnerships, including Northwestern, including the Blackhawks, including many others.
Yes, we have been blessed in no small part because of you, not a joke, because of you and Todd Manley and Jimmy DeCastro who have always given us a megaphone to talk about our mission. And the WGN listeners, and they've all heard me say it, you know, I've done other local radio around town. Nothing moves the needle. Nobody responds. Nobody picks up the mission like WGN listeners. And so because of you, we have a great partnership with the Chicago Blackhawks. In fact, we are in negotiations. We're rolling out for the fall a coffee cup. It's an American-made coffee cup, as always. And in-house, we're putting our new logo on it and the Blackhawks logo. And we're going to do a coffee cup giveaway at one of the games around Veterans Day this year.
Cool.
Yeah, because of Pete Hassan and, of course, Laura Clausen and Jay Blanc, just the best people in all of sports.
Hey, Mark, the Blackhawk shirts that you guys made that I got a couple of, I started something because I got them for two of my cousins, the Hawk shirt with the dog tags, which were amazing.
Yeah.
I know you sold out. Are you going to be making those again?
We are, and we can, and for you, of course, not kidding. If you want some, we actually still might have some in stock.
Okay, good.
So
I need about 30. That I have to buy. No, I do, because I have a big family, and you buy something for one, you have to get it for everybody.
Andrea would like to use her Firestone card to pay for those, if possible.
I'll give you a blank check. Just tell me what I owe.
Buy four, get the fifth one free. That's the standing offer I have with WGN employees.
Perfect.
If you go to ragsofhonor.us, know that every dollar you spend goes to help keep a homeless member of the military in good standing to get their life back in order so that they have a place they can call home. Because they have a job they can call their own, and through the grace of Rags of Honor and the grace of God, frankly, in my worldview, this is working out for so many people. So I salute you, buddy, as the mission continues.
Thank you. The one thing I do want to say is it's the 15th anniversary of 9/11, and because of what happened on that day, we've been in 15 years, two wars, multiple deployments, over $3 trillion. They're saying the cost for traumatic brain injuries alone for the next 25 years is going to be about $1 trillion.
Wow.
So we have a new commemorative shirt that we are launching. It's on the site now. It's a 9/11 shirt designed by us in-house. I think it's beautiful. We also have, and I want to tell the listeners, if you have someone in your life who is deployed, many years ago there was a, they started these red, Remember Everyone Deployed, and we do a version of that. And as your listeners know, I only ask you to buy things. I never take a penny out of this, nor will I ever. But if you want to pay homage to those who gave their lives at 9/11 and since 9/11, we've got a great commemorative shirt up on the site. And if you have somebody in your life who's deployed, come and buy one of our red shirts. Remember Everyone Deployed, because it was a turning point in our country, and we're still paying the price for it.
It's a brilliant idea. It's ragsofhonor.us. Get yours. Andre and I are on the site now. We're going to order them up.
And we, you're the best.
And we hope you do the same. All right, buddy. Thanks for the education and the information, and thanks for the mission at Rags of Honor.
Thank you, guys. I love you both. I'll see you soon.
All right.
See you, Mark.
And congrats on the relationship. Good God, have I got to talk to that woman? Holy mackerel. More in a moment on the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN. It is 9:52. Bill and Wendy coming up shortly. Stand by for that. You want to play a quick round of Shop Talk? We can do that. 312-981-7200. We have some prizes we can give away. Let's go to Dave, the announcer on Shop Talk, to explain how Shop Talk works. Dave?
Shop Talk is the America's favorite game in which you bring us your work lingo, and we try to identify your job.
And if...
How was that?
Really obnoxious, just the way it should have been.
Thank you.
Yeah, well done by you. So 312-981-7200 is the number. You call up, you give us your work lingo, your language of labor, and we will try to identify what you do for a living. If we identify what you do for a living, you're a big loser. You're a huge loser.
Should we give an example? Because last time someone called in and said, oh, I teach.
Yeah.
I talk
yeah.
in front of yeah, students.
No, Shop Talk would be... you know, the business has changed, but I used to have a cart that I would put in a deck, and then sometimes the things might be a little scratchy.
Okay, I thought talking about work, not your personal life. But
no, cart and a deck.
Yes. Yeah.
Cartridge with audio.
Hey, you're
on
radio.
Right.
Or if That's we said, Steve, Dave, the levels are a little low. We need to pot it up.
Yeah, there you go. That's even better.
Yeah.
We should have gone with you instead.
Okay.
Let's go to Rich on line one. Rich, a chance to be a big winner. And Rich, I do want to warn you that, Rich, if you give us your Shop Talk and we identify what you do, you have to give us something from your house and mail it to us.
Okay.
Okay. All right, Rich, whenever you're ready, Shop Talk us.
Okay, the first one, butt set.
Your butt set? Boy, your butt set. If you got a butt set, use it in a sentence.
Use it in a sentence.
Yeah, use it in a sentence. Butt set. Use it in a sentence. Are we on delay?
I'm trying to think of a sentence.
All right, hold on. All right, we'll come back to you.
Butt set.
That's unbelievable.
I don't know what it is.
We'll come back. Sandy. What's going on with the phones? Sandy hung up. Maureen.
Maureen
is here.
Maureen. All right, Maureen, whenever you're ready, Shop Talk us.
Here are some patterns that would work perfectly for your 2.5-inch strips. If you use this ruler, you will get perfect quarter-inch seam allowance, and you'll have perfect flying geese. You can also use her methods to make the V-block that Doreen Spechman called peaky and spike.
Ooh. Wow, it's like Latin.
Seamstress of some sort.
Seamstress? What do you got?
I'm going to say interior designer.
All right. I'm going to say weapons maker. Yes. Dave, you have a guess?
You're close.
Weaver.
A weaver.
Well, Steve, you were the furthest. Seamstress,
you
are. I am a quilter.
Oh, you go. Oh, I quilter. Win. Oh, nice job. Way to go,
Nicely
Maureen.
Done by you.
I listen to you every morning.
Well, I've got prizes for you, my friend. Sweet Alley's Bakery Fall Sampler Pack. You get that. And congratulations. Hold a line if you can. Stick around.
Thank you, sir.
Don't go away.
Is her job a dream?
Should we go back to Rich?
Sorry, I couldn't stop. Okay, Rich.
All right, Rich, you got a sentence for me?
Yep. Connect your butt set and check for noise. And yes, it is a phrase I've used a lot on my job, believe it or not.
Connect your butt set and check for noise. You're a prop comic.
No.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to say air traffic controller.
No.
Air traffic controller. Dave, you got a butt set?
Heavy equipment mechanic.
No.
Mary?
I have no clue. Noise.
No clue is incorrect. Jake or Sandberg, any guess? That's incorrect.
Baker.
Rich, what do you do?
A butt set is, and this is a very common term. I didn't make it up.
A butt set is a telephone linesman test set. You know the thing that looks like a telephone with alligator clips?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You listen for dial tone, you listen for noise, and any other weird thing.
Oh, look at that. Look at that, you and your butt set. All right, buddy, hold on. We got a Lou Malnati's pizza or two for you at 1-800-LOU-TO-GO or loutogo.com. We will play Shop Talk again someday soon.
Oh, let's play it now.
But now,
let's play more.
Let's take a break and come back with Bill and Wendy next. What do they do?
They're butt sets.
No, I mean for a living. Yes, Tim?
Well, as the announcer, don't I get to say
goodbye? Oh, yeah, you got to say goodbye. Yeah,
that's all the time we have for this edition of Shop Talk. Join us again tomorrow. It's been a Mark Goodson, Bill Todman production.
So close. Back after this on 720 WGN.